Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, joined on the phone by Joe Masato after the Thunder's 117-104 win at Minnesota. Joe, this was a good one to bounce back from the atrocity we watched here the other night.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good bounce-back performance by the Thunder, and kind of in a similar position almost. I mean, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is not LeBron James or Anthony Davis, but it was another game that the Thunder was facing a team without its best player, and this time that didn't affect the result.
No, and their second best player, the Thunder kept to just 10 points, which is pretty impressive. I'm not sure if he scored in the fourth quarter. Andrew Wiggins.
Noted Thunder killer Andrew Wiggins. I was actually like going back looking at his career games against the Thunder in anticipation for writing something along the lines of they were without Carl Anthony Towns, but Wiggins killed the Thunder, but he didn't.
No, not at all. You had Terrence Ferguson yet again stepping in and really neutralizing a very good player. But I can't believe that we've gone this long. I've realized it's only been a minute.
We're just building up the suspense.
Without talking about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's first career triple-double.
Holy cow. It was a big, big triple-double. A 20-20-10 triple-double.
20 rebounds is the most any guard has gotten this season in the game.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of notes to go with this one. He became the youngest player in history, passing Shaq, is the youngest player with a 20 rebound triple double. He doubled his career high tonight. I mean, 10 was his career high in rebounds. He had 20. This is a guy who's averaging less than 3 assists per game. He had 10. I mean, he was incredible tonight.
Fifth Thunder player to ever record a triple-double. Obviously, Russ has a ton, but, you know, joining the likes of...
I've got him here. Russ, Kevin Durant, Paul George, and Serge Ibaka. So he's number 5.
Good group there.
Yeah,
I'd sit with them at lunch.
An even better group. He became the 4th second-year player in NBA history to have a 20-20 game. The others are all Hall of Famers. Shaq, Charles Barkley, and Oscar Robertson.
Yeah. That's really good company.
Yeah, his name definitely doesn't fit at this point, but it's just incredible how...
But it could one day.
Yeah, it could one day. Just the... Not only, 2020-10 is a huge game for anybody, but to do it when you're 21 years old and in your second year and your first year as... you know, kind of a breakout player. I mean, it's something else.
Yeah, really, really special. And it was a game, too, where I asked him post-game after the Lakers game, because he brought up on his own the rebounding discrepancy, and I asked him about essentially, what was it that was missing, and he was saying that he personally wishes that he had gotten more involved and helped Steven Adams out more. And tonight, he certainly couldn't have done any more.
Yeah, he said after the game on the broadcast that Brian Keith, Thunder assistant, just challenged him to stuff the stat sheet. It's like, is that all it took? Like, hey, Jay, go out there and stuff the stat sheet. Sure, 2020.
Oh, okay. I guess I'll do that.
It looked rather... simple for him, but yeah.
Brian Keith should maybe think about whatever he said pregame, taking that exact same message and giving it to him before every game.
Yeah, he should just tell every player that before the game and see what
hey,
happens. They'll score 350 points or something.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, impressive performance. Crazy, though, that if we're talking about exclusively offensive performance, he's got some competition with Danilo Gallinari.
Yeah, I mean, the the return of the Clippers trade looked pretty good tonight with Shea and Gallinari.
Watch, wouldn't it be really funny if we looked back and like the 2023, do they have a 23 in there? Yeah, they have Miami's 23. Anyways, one of those,
you're adding, yeah,
one of those future draft picks like had an amazing high school game.
Yeah, we need to look that up however many years from now. But yeah, Gallinari had 30, which was his Thunder high. Previous season high was 28. 8 of 12, 3 of 4. It was interesting. Both he and Shea were 8 of 12.
That's funny.
Gallo did his work from the free throw line. He was 11 of 12. He was 8 of 8 in the second quarter.
I swear he got to the line whenever he wanted to. He was like, oh, fast break, guy in front of me. I guess I'll take some free throws.
Yeah. And I mean, they put this out up on the broadcast. He's ninth in the NBA at 89.8, I think, percent free throw shooter coming into this one. Was 11 of 12 tonight. So if he gets there, he's going to make almost all of them. And this is kind of what, like, young Gallo did in his career. He was so good at getting to the free throw line. And, like, he's just crafty. I mean, he's not the most athletic guy, the fastest guy, but he knows when to, like, lurch his head back and kind of flail a little bit, and he's very good at getting foul calls.
Yeah, no, and the Thunder needed to score in other ways because, like, they just didn't shoot very many threes. They finished the night with one. Is that right?
No.
No, I mean, sorry, with three. What is this stat sheet saying? Maybe it didn't. This says that they're 3 of 10. is going on with the internet?
I'm looking at numbers. They were 12.
Okay, 12 of 30. They were 12 of 30. Okay, so they actually shot pretty well from three.
and Gallo extended that streak. He made three tonight. So I think 10 straight games with three.
So that's tied for.
I think he was tied for second coming into the night. Yeah.
And Paul George had 10. So
yeah, so tied for first.
There you go.
All kinds of crazy notes tonight.
Yeah, so many ties. And at 18, Shea had tied Luka for the most rebounds in the game by a guard, and then obviously got two more and was able to pass in there. But, I mean, 18 is a pretty big number, and then to beat it by two.
Yeah, I mean, it's just such an outlier. Like, anytime he's young, so, like, take that into account when we're saying career highs. But, like, when you double a career high in a category, it's just insane. 20 rebounds, like, it doesn't look right on the stat sheet. But, you know, he's averaging almost 6 rebounds per game, which is really good for a guard. So I think it shows, like, the potential that he has to be a really good rebounding guard. And I think part of that is he's 6'6 and can use that length. And Russell Westbrook has shown for the Thunder that when you're a point guard and you get that rebound, you can lead those fast breaks and get out in transition, and good things can happen.
Yeah, obviously the Timberwolves had a bit of a disadvantage without having Kat out there rebounding-wise, but the Thunder still out-rebounded them 51-37.
Yeah, it's a big discrepancy even without him. I mean, Adams had a double-double, 13-11. He also had 5 assists. But, yeah, I mean, no one else had more than 4. Yeah. Shea had 20. Adams had 11.
It was basically those two.
Yeah.
And Shea then was you had just a few guys with 3 and 4, but... yes, stuff that's sashy. And then you go over to the Timberwolves, and no one on that team had more than 5, which was Shabazz Napier, another guard.
Yeah, that's interesting as well. Yeah, weird game. I mean,
and Okogie. Sorry, Josh.
Like the Timberwolves just could not. The Thunder, even in the first quarter, I think they shot like 60-something percent in the first quarter. they were still down because they were turning the ball over a ton, but that was just kind of a preview. Like the Timberwolves just did not defend well tonight.
No. I mean, yeah, they finished the night shooting 50% from the Thunder. That's 50% from the field, 40% from three. I'm guessing that 3 of 10 that I was looking at was just the fourth quarter and it hadn't loaded. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, there it is. 30% in the fourth quarter. Better than that overall. And the Thunder held where they really got out to that lead. Because, like you said, I believe it was committed six turnovers in the first quarter and allowed 11 points off that.
It was 11 to nothing, I think, points off turnovers after that first quarter.
Yeah, so the Timberwolves were really taking advantage of that. And so that was why it was such a close game, even though the Thunder was shooting so efficiently. And then in the third quarter, they hold the Timberwolves to 19 points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defense stepped up in that third quarter. And just final numbers for the offense, 7 Thunder players scored in double digits. Chris Paul had 10. Mike Muscala had 11, which was close to his Thunder high. Steven Adams had 13. Terrence Ferguson, a really good offensive night, 14. Dennis Schroeder had 14. Shea had 20, and Gallo had 30.
Yeah, everyone was clicking. Not everyone was clicking as much as Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, but when you get Mike Muscala and Terrence Ferguson shooting well on the same night, suddenly the Thunder has a lot more offense to go around.
I thought Terrence looked quite confident tonight. I mean, it wasn't just the threes. He was 2 of 4, but he was like curling around screens and like got up some mid-range jumpers.
Yeah, he had like 2 in a row that looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked like he was like seeking out that shot, which is something we haven't routinely seen from him.
Yeah, this team has been a really good, I don't know the exact numbers. I'd like to look them up. But when you have your 3-point guards shooting in the mid-range like Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Shea Gilgeous-Alexander do, suddenly that becomes this strength and this weapon. I mean, I think there was a moment when Chris Paul was asked about a specific shot and he was basically saying like, I didn't feel that comfortable that close to the rim. I wish I had just taken it from the elbow.
I remember that. I mean, he's obviously one of the best ever at that shot, but I don't have the numbers in front of me. But the Thunder aren't, like, they're not up there with, like, the Pacers and the Spurs in the amount of mid-range attempts, but they're among the best, if not the best, at shooting percentage from the mid-range. So, yeah, it's a good shot, and it's, I mean, not something we're seeing a lot in the age of 2020 basketball, but the Thunder are making it work.
Yeah, it's a good shot if you have those guys taking it. And apparently now Terrence Ferguson, too.
How about that? Just join the party, Terrence.
They just start, all the guards start doing it.
Well, they're so, like, hey, it works for Chris Paul all the time. Let's try it.
Yeah, that's how I live my life, too.
Careful.
It works for, you know, the best writers in the world. Maybe I should do it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it was that easy. Yeah,
it works for Rachel Nichols. I'll do it.
Yeah, not on that level, but we can still have dreams, right?
Yeah. Are you saying I'm never gonna be Rachel Nichols?
No. I'm saying, I'm saying there's still time. That's it.
Thanks. Oh gosh, yeah, we got to hear Mike Muscala post game too. He seemed pretty fired up about Zeal Gallinari's 30 points and we got a great post game walk off by Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, which was, I mean, hearing Shea would be great anyways. But a post-game walk-off interview is always better with Dennis Schroeder in it.
Yeah, Schroeder adds to the comedy of it all, and he's become like the star of the post game interviews, even when he's not being interviewed,
especially when he's not being interviewed.
Yeah, exactly. And today, he walked up to Shea and was like counting off Shea's stats, and then he left the frame for a little bit, and he comes back like 10 to 15 seconds later. He's got two water bottles, and he just pours them all over Shea. And Shea is like soaked, and he's like, you know, Shea has fun, but he's a little more serious. And he tried to like finish the interview and like kept wiping his forehead and stuff. It was very fun.
That so much like described how the two of them approach the game. Like, Dennis is just having so much fun and being such a pest for 48 minutes. And Shea, like, the most emotion you see from him is like brief moments of celebration or like frustration, but they're never that over the top. I think probably the biggest one was like what they got on camera, his reaction to one of Muscala's threes, and that was probably the most fired up you saw him all game. And so of course he'd get doused by water and just kind of be dripping and and speaking.
He very much tried to play it off like nothing was happening, like trying to be professional when, you know, he didn't have to be. He could have some fun with it. But yeah, it was funny to see him put in that spot and these guys like trying to loosen him up a little bit.
Yeah. So the Thunder now is 17-6 since Thanksgiving, which they no longer have the best record since Thanksgiving, but they have one of the best. I think it's still top four in that time span. So it's not like the loss to the Lakers the other night was the end of the world. It just was, it truly was just a game. It wasn't the beginning of a slide, it seems.
Yeah, and that's what this team's done well. I mean, they're not, except for the very beginning of the season, they're not going on any sort of losing streaks, and they're not letting one bad game leak into the other. And the Lakers game was just objectively terrible, that loss. And then today it's like they just went up there, Shea took over, and they took care of business in Minnesota, which is like a team that is well behind the Thunder in the standings, but still might have like aspirations to make a late push for that 8 seed and things like that. So they're still a motivated team even without Karl Towns. But the Thunder are just better than them at this point, especially with the personnel available.
Right. Well, and the team that has given them trouble in the past. I think that's yes, we still have to come back to Kat not playing, but, you know, got over the Wiggins hump. And it's not like these guys are just rolling over, right? That, yeah. They had the overtime win against them, and then obviously tonight, and was the second one? Oh no, we just had those two. So like they've taken them to overtime before. It's not like a team that they've just had, you know, been able to just blow past earlier this season.
Yeah, definitely. So 2-0 now over the Timberwolves, who I think are like 2-7 against Northwest Division opponents. So not good on that front. But yeah, it's a place that the Thunder has struggled. Wiggins, we've talked about him, and they played well against him. And it was just like the Timberwolves like were relying on Naz Reid, who's a rookie, to sort of like shoot them back into it late. It's like a center who was just draining threes, and that was a little crazy to watch. But yeah, so it's, I don't know, something feels a little off in Minnesota. It probably feels way more off seeing them play without Towns, but he's missed 14 in a row now, and they've really slid without him.
Yeah. Anything else on this particular game?
Shea had a triple-double, and I think that's about it.
That sums it up.
In case you missed it.
The first one of his career.
He had only had, I think this was his third double-double, which makes it even crazier.
Really?
Yeah, like I mean, when you only when you're like career high in rebounds and assists is both 10.
Yeah.
It's hard to hard to get those double doubles. So
well,
he was just like, sure, I'll go 20-20-10.
Well, he gets a rematch with the Canadian team where the last time they were in Toronto, he scored a career high, tying his career high, and the most that any Canadian has scored against the Raptors. So we'll see if he can do it again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, they've got a nice little homestand coming up, Toronto, Miami, Portland, and then go back on the road for a couple games. But long January.
Yeah, nice to have, I mean, not a break because they're playing games with those three home games in a row. This was just a one-stop trip tonight in Minnesota. And, yeah, three in a row at home and then two on the road. And February, at least, is a lot lighter as far as number of games. So January's tough. We've already outlined how they haven't had 2 days off in a row. And have they hit that yet? I don't even remember.
They're in the thick of it. It was all of January.
Yeah, not until February 1st and 2nd do they have 2 days off in a row. So a tough part of the schedule.
I think it was after Christmas. I think it was from that Christmas break through the beginning of February.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at a calendar view of it, and it's January is just completely filled with colors signifying home and away games, and it's just a lot of games. So February will be nice. Let's just keep working our way toward that.
Yeah. One of these days they'll get Nerlens Noel back, but that was not tonight. Hence all the Muskie time.
Muskie played well, and the other night we saw, you know, Nerlens was working out before the games and stuff, not giving any sort of timeline. Because I don't know, but it's not like he's on crutches or something. Like he looks like he's close to returning.
Right, and Billy Donovan has essentially characterized it as somewhat precautionary. So they'll get him back. All right, cool. Thanks for tuning in to this Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, subscribe, share it with your friends, your enemies, your pets, your loved ones, and we will see you on Wednesday after the Raptors.